Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Wednesday, October 26th. Today, we're talking to business reporter Tamara Chung about the unemployment rate in Colorado, which is remaining flat. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our friends and sponsors at Forvis. Forvis is an accounting and advisory services firm that offers comprehensive assurance, tax, and advisory services to various industries. Created by the merger of equals of BKD and DHG, Forvis now ranks among the nation's top 10 professional services firms. To learn more about how Forvis can help your organization manage change, stay compliant, and bolster your bottom line, visit their website at forvis.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Western settlement often depended on harnessing scarce water resources. One of the best examples stands in La Plata and Montezuma counties, where the Animas La Plata project veered between construction and litigation starting in the 1960s. Its groundbreaking ceremony, held near Durango on this date in 1991, culminated decades of work, but also proved premature as lawsuits and legislation continued to reshape the project. After years of discussion at the local and national levels, the U.S. Congress authorized the project for southwestern Colorado and northwestern New Mexico in 1968. Planning and environmental studies continued for more than two decades. Residents of the nearby Southern Ute and Ute Mountain reservations lobbied for access to water as well, securing rights promised to them at the beginning of the 20th century. Not until 1991 did federal officials finalize the background work, allowing for groundbreaking that October. Environmental groups sued to halt the project a year later, and it languished in the courts. Another round of reports followed, and finally in 2002, construction resumed. Work finished on the then largest earthen dam in the world in 2008. The filling of Lake Nighthorse, named for Colorado's U.S. Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell, commenced, and the reservoir filled for the first time in the summer of 2011. Various issues continued to delay completion, including the reservoir's proximity to uranium tailings from Durango's Cold War-era mill, the logistics of pumping water to tribal communities, and determining how to provide recreational access to the lake. The ongoing work and controversy reflect the scope of water projects and the challenges inherent in balancing myriad concerns as diverse groups seek to advocate their interests over precious natural resources. Before we continue, want to keep up with the Colorado Sun's events? Good news, you can get an email right to your inbox each month with an overview of all upcoming events. Visit coloradosun.com/events and click on the yellow button that says Sign Up to opt in. Again, that's coloradosun.com/events. Next, our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation, and I'm grateful to be here with you today. Today, we are visiting with our business reporter and resident expert, Tamara Chung. Hi, Tamara.
Hi, Carol.
I appreciate you coming back on today to talk to us a little bit about things that you've recently reported in your What's Working newsletter that folks can get in their inboxes every Saturday morning. And this past Saturday, one of the things I noticed is that you were really reporting on Colorado's unemployment rate basically being flat. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and if it's good or bad?
Sure. So every month, the state of Colorado, and actually the U.S. as well, we all report on what the unemployment rate is. So this is like the number of people who are unemployed compared to how many working age adults there are in a certain population. And Colorado's rate, you know, obviously during the early part of the pandemic, it shot up because everyone got laid off. So lots of people lost their jobs. Colorado's rate actually was, I believe it got up to 11, 12% almost at the peak. And then probably around maybe a year ago, summer, it's been going steadily down. And steadily down meaning, you know, just a few tenths of a percent each month. But for September, the rate stayed the same as August. So flat.
Really interesting. And do we know, because, you know, we like to say here in Colorado that we have a pretty strong economy that does bounce back relatively well. Do you know if that's myth or true and how these numbers that you reported on put Colorado in comparison to the rest of this country?
Yeah, well, there's many things about Colorado where the job numbers are also showing that a lot of people are getting back to work or looking for work. But the latest unemployment rate, you know, it really just puts us in the middle of all the 50 states on unemployment rates. But what I did in this last column was actually delve into, well, what does this mean? Because the September rate was 3.4%, which is what it was in August. But I looked into the actual numbers on how this rate is calculated to give readers more insight into, well, is this good or bad? And I don't know. I don't know if I could really answer that question because, you know, we're not getting worse. So that must be good, but I can put it into context.
To that point, you had a great chart on how the unemployment rate is calculated. And so working age adults, it looks like, are considered 16 years or older, right?
Yes. The state has the data on about how many people are in the working age population. And actually, that has to be 16 to 65, because that's considered the working age population. Of those who are that age, they split it up into how many are actually in the workforce. So these are people who are either working or looking for work. So there's a number of people who aren't in the labor force. And those people could be retired, or they may have a disability, so they're not looking for work, or they may not need to work, or they have... You know, maybe they're a parent and they take care of their family, but they have other means of income.
Sure. And where does this fall, like the flat unemployment rate, where does that fall in recession speak, you know, in terms of Colorado's recession outlook?
You know, in talking to this one of the state economists over at the Department of Labor in Colorado, Ryan Gedney, he mentioned that in the scheme of things, it's really about history. And to him, there's nothing about the unemployment rate staying flat points to any sort of recession. And this is because, you know, a 3.4% is actually pretty low, you know, in the past 5 years or so. You know, we're not at the highest and we're not at the lowest. And the same thing is true for how many people in the workforce. You know, we're at pretty high rates of people who are of working age and who are either working or looking for work. So there's just a larger number of adults in the labor force than there were like even 5 years ago.
That's really interesting. And what are the odds that these numbers get revised? Are they, did they get looked at a second or third time, you know, in a month or two?
I mean, a lot of the labor data does get revised. I don't know if the actual statistic, the actual rate is going to get revised. I mean, you never know if something comes up. But I can tell you that even though the number is flat, you know, 3.4% for August and September, if you actually take how many people were unemployed, which is all based on a survey, by the way, so take that with a grain of salt. But technically, in September, it was 3.37%, whereas in July, it was 3.43%. You know, depending on how far, you know, if you round up, it's 3.4% for both months.
Got it. And are you, this makes me think when we're talking about these numbers, are you still running your poll on how has inflation hit your wallet? Is that still open to our listeners and readers?
Yes. And actually, I think this week I only put it in the newsletter and I have heard back from more people there. But you can go back to last week's story and fill out the poll.
Absolutely. And that gives us also just something to keep tracking over the next few weeks as folks do fill that out. They also can go to coloradosun.com and subscribe to your Saturday newsletter. Tamara, thank you for dropping by. Appreciate it. And to all of our listeners out there, I hope you have a wonderful day and can tune into our next episode of the Daily Sunup. And if you have any thoughts about the podcast, send us an email at podcast@coloradosun.com. Thanks also to everyone who helped produce today's podcast, including our production partners, Pirate Audio. And we will talk to you on the next episode.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. A group led by a top advisor to former President Donald Trump is producing Spanish-language mailers and radio ads with anti-transgender messaging targeted at Colorado's Latino voters. The messages come from the American First Legal Foundation, which is led by Stephen Miller, a key aide to Trump on immigration issues. The mailers falsely claim President Biden is pushing treatments like puberty blockers and removing genitalia. The mailers also feature a photo of Rachel Levine, an assistant secretary at the Department of Health and Human Services. Levine is the first transgender person to hold a federal office requiring Senate confirmation. Denver officials are putting the brakes on the overwhelmingly popular e-bike vouchers for the rest of this year after running out of money in the fund. E-bike-hungry Denver residents burned through 3 years and $9 million of subsidies in just 6 months. More than 4,400 e-bikes have been bought using the program. The rebates, which are funded through a sales tax approved in 2020 by Denver voters, are on pause while city officials decide how much additional money to bring into the e-bike program for a 2023 relaunch. The Colorado Tourism Office is handing out $1.8 million in marketing grants to help some tourism bureaus recover from the lingering effects of the pandemic. The federal money is part of a $750 million effort in the American Rescue Plan to support tourism and outdoor recreation. Tourism has bounced back in Colorado's mountains, where outdoor recreation drew record visitation. But the grants announced Tuesday are directed toward Front Range communities where international traffic has collapsed and convention business is slow to return. Denver, Colorado Springs, Aurora, Fort Collins, and Loveland all received grants. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month. And if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.